The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We have an event that you can actually still go to that is Super Bowl related that is really cool. It's the Super Bowl breakfast the day before. Kirk Cousins is going to be honored at it. Tony Dungy will be one of the speakers, among others. And my buddy Nicole Kreitz over at 3TV is going to be with us to talk about that event and how you can get involved in it, because it is one of those that is out there. It's available. And people are always looking for Super Bowl things and the cool stuff. So we'll get into that. Also on today's show, Anthony Beck was a tight end. He's a cup of coffee with the Cardinals right after the Super Bowl. But I like to hear, and he went on to ESPN, did very well there, in my opinion. He did a good job. He is the new head coach of the St. Louis Battlehawks in the XFL, which starts next month. Just wanted to have him on for a few minutes to talk some football and putting together a program. They actually mic'd him up for our segment, which is kind of cool. We have some stuff from Anthony Becht we'll put in today's show. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Start banking better, getting more with free checking from Desert Financial. Join a winning team at desertfinancial.com. We appreciate Desert Financial, as always, in their support. I'm interviewing Sally Field tomorrow. Those of you that are south of 45 may be like, who? You have to pay attention on the movie front. And maybe I'm selling some of you short. Sally Field is in the new 80 for Brady, the Tom Brady movie. I have a link to watch that movie today. The previews of it look painful, but I will do it for you, for content. Now, I could be wrong. It could be very entertaining. I could laugh out loud doubting it. Doesn't mean I'm hating on it. Doesn't mean I'm not going to be nice to Sally Field. If you Google Flying Nun, that is Sally Field. If you Google Smokey and the Bandit, that is Sally Field. I'm going to sit across from Sally Field tomorrow via Zoom, and it's going to be kind of cool. There's a couple other movies that are coming out, sports movies, in the coming weeks that I'm going to be bringing on actors and actresses on. I'm not going to say who yet, because actors and actresses, much like athletes, the last minute cancel, flake, stuff comes up. So, but there's a cool movie with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck that's coming out that I'm excited to see. It's a sports movie. It's about Sonny Vaccaro at Adidas and Phil Knight and Michael Jordan and how that all came to be. And that's going to be around the Final Four, and we're going to be involved in that and some other things. A movie about George Foreman. So I love doing the sports and entertainment stuff. This stuff is not brain surgery. It really isn't. I can sit here all day long and go through, what are the Cardinals going to do for a head coach? It's not brain surgery. It's kind of fun to talk about, but yeah, we'll see. The owner's still here, so yeah. I think the big story tonight, it's on the Suns' end. Yes, this is what I have been preaching. When injuries happen, teams aren't good. Really not that hard. Don't need to do whole segments. Coming up next, what's the one Suns player that may help them out? Stick through the break, listen to the commercials, and we'll fill you in. So Cam Johnson is going to be back tonight. Cam Johnson going to play heavy minutes? Probably not. Probably shouldn't. He's going to be back tonight. They play Brooklyn. It is a late start. It's a nationally televised game. When Chris Paul gets back, when Devin Booker gets back, all these guys, in my opinion, could come back March 1st, all the way up to about March 15th. And I would be, they're fine. They're fine. 2 months from now, the Suns have to have their full team together. They have to be in the home stretch. They have to be playing. They can load manage if they want, but they've got to be out there 30 minutes, 25, 30 minutes. And this just isn't that hard. It just isn't. When you are getting your heads kicked in and you don't have your star players, it doesn't matter what business you're in. You're not going to be very good. So, yeah, Cam will be back tonight. DeAndre Ayton needs to play consistent. We know that. We've been saying that for a year and a half now. If he's traded at the deadline, wouldn't shock me in the least. Not in the least. But for Cam Johnson to come back, he has not been on the floor since, what is it, early November, November 4th. And he brings a dimension to the game. He's one of their starters. They've been down three starters. You count Jay Crowder not being here, it's four starters. So, of course, they're not going to be very good. And Jay would have been off the bench this year because Cam took his spot. Jay threw a hissy fit. Jay's not here. So this is a positive step tonight for them. It doesn't matter what the final score is. It doesn't matter. Meantime, crosstown, Arizona State, the Bobby Hurley one-and-dones, as I like to call them. I wrote about that in Three Dots yesterday. They're the one-and-dones. Frankie Collins, Cambridge, they're all one-and-dones. They're here. They're going to be here a year, and they're done. And the one-and-dones tonight take on UCLA. Very late tip, 8:30 tonight. I sound like I'm old. It's just I know the viewing audience. I know there's going to be people that are not going to want to go to downtown Tempe. By the way, the Coyotes are playing tonight at Mullet. So if you're going to the game, they're about an hour and a half apart. Really not that hard. Really not that big of a deal. But there's people, oh my gosh. Oh, it's two big events. What are we going to do? We're in a stage now where it's so convenient to stay at home. Problem is, FS1 is showing the game. Let me go on a bit of a rant here for a minute about our industry. Our beloved industry. Our beloved industry sucks in certain ways. It just does. We're going to cut costs of broadcasters being on site. It's not just broadcasters. They have to pay for production people to be on site. But here's the problem. One of many problems with this. It's a trend that I don't like. I remember Larry Scott walked Eric and I around the Pac-12 network studios back in 2013. And we were up there for an ASU-Stanford game, and he said, you know, come by, I want to show you around. And they show us these, first of all, they're in this palatial estate of a building, and I'm thinking, what is the rent on this, one? Two, we go up on an elevator, walk in, and there's nothing but college students with AirPods on working or headsets on. And they're pumping out content. Yep, this is the future. It's content. I'm looking around and I'm all about that. I'm all about having young people and young eyes. I'm all about having people grow and be given an opportunity. I'm all about at some point, some of those people, you need to move on. You can go to the next step. If this is where you want to be, if you want to be a sideline reporter at ESPN, if you want to be in NASCAR, at some point you've got to just leave the nest. At some point. And I felt like then it's, I don't know, they're just going to kind of move people in and out. But then they took us up to a floor where it was a bunch of little studios, just little studios, like five of them around. And this is where we're going to put our announcers, because the future is we're not going to send announcers to the games because there's just too much cost involved in sending announcers to the games. Well, that all sounds well and good depending on what level of game you are broadcasting. I don't know. It's number 5 UCLA against Arizona State, who's 15-3. And the announcers for tonight's game, I'm assuming it's Casey Jacobson. Love Casey. We've had Casey on the show here a lot. They're going to pull into a parking lot in Reseda or Culver City, and they're going to go into a little room like this, and they're going to have a bank of monitors, and they're just going to do the game off there. And you're saying, so what, Brad? I don't care. All that matters is to the score match, and I just want to know who wins and loses. I don't think Bill Walton would be nearly as interesting and entertaining if he were sitting in a hermetically sealed booth in Culver City. Casey's not Bill Walton. I understand that. But when you're at an arena, you get to the arena 2-3 hours before the game. You visit with the referees. You visit with the assistant coaches. You poke your head in and you get stuff. You get stuff. And we're in a day and age now where broadcast companies are saying that's just not important. We're going to put the coach on the phone for you for 15, 20 minutes, and that's really what you need. We don't need to have anybody on site. So forget about the fact this is one of the top games in the nation tonight. Forget about the fact the cost of a Southwest flight from LAX to over here or Burbank to over here. If you do the fare sale correctly, if somebody in booking travel is looking for the $49 and $39 flights, they could book it for $39 or $49. Forget about the fact you could trade out a hotel. Forget about the fact you could have a car come and pick them up, and they're going to have a few meals. So for the cost of, I don't know, $1,500 to $2,000, because you're still going to pay your talent the same, you don't have enough come over here and treat a game of this magnitude. Oh, you know, it's Arizona State. You know, there's so much sports on. You know, we're not going to get the number because, you know, the TNT's got Kevin Durant against the Suns. And you know, we got all these costs. Then get out of the business. Just get out. Because it shortchanges you. Controversial call, something in the stands, players injured, two guys sitting in a booth 600 miles away. They don't have anybody there telling them what's going on. And this trend's really annoying to me, and it's alarming to me. When COVID was going on and broadcasters were sent to do games from ballparks, it worked. Enough. If it's baseball, you're filling nine innings. Basketball game, it's 2 hours. Do we need to travel everybody everywhere to every single game? The answer to that is no. It's why ESPN Plus is on board now. I can watch an NAU basketball game on ESPN Plus. They're excited they're on ESPN Plus. They should be excited they're on ESPN Plus. They just use the announcers that are there. Have the people that are there do the game. I don't care if it's UCLA's broadcast crew or Arizona State's broadcast crew. It's not right or fair to the consumer. You're the one that's paying for FS1, your cable bill, your satellite bill, however you're doing it. And they're going to go cheap. That's just a game. Brad, you're all fired about it. That's old school. No, I believe context is being lessened dramatically. Content is being lessened dramatically. It's just cotton candy. We don't really need that much stuff. It's not fair to the consumer. It really isn't. And it just, a game of this magnitude, they should be here in person. It's just not that hard. And it's LA. It's the LA market. You know, what are you saying to the number 5 ranked team in the nation? You're not that important. Come on. Dumb. So here's Arizona State and here's Arizona playing the LA schools coming down to the final time when they do move away next year, after next year. But it's one of the last times we're going to see UCLA here. I think it's pretty cool. That is tonight. The college football schedules came out yesterday, and if you look at how Arizona State lays out, you know, we go through this. They open with Southern Utah. That's a win. They're home to Oklahoma State, week number 2. Oklahoma State's really good. I'd call that a loss. They're home to Fresno State, week 3. Fresno State, not bad. I'd call that a win. They're home week 4 to USC. That's a really good break for Arizona State. Really good break for them. Because it's going to be miserable. It just is. It's going to be hot. It's going to be whatever the temperatures are going to be. That plays into their favor. Then they go to Cal. I think that's a win. I'm not calling the USC game on the surface. It's a loss, obviously. So let's just do that. We'll call it a loss. So they're 2-2. They go to Cal. They win at Cal. They're 3-2. They're home to Colorado and Dion. I'm calling that a win for ASU. They're 4-2. Then they have the bye. They go to Washington. That's a loss. 4-3. Home to Washington State. They never play Washington State well here. I don't know why that is, but I'll call that a win. So we're at 4-4. Going to Utah, that's a loss. 4-5. At UCLA, see how they're coming along. I'll call that a loss. Home to Oregon, that's a loss. Home to Arizona, that'll be a win, in my opinion. I think they'll get better as the season goes on. So they've got to get to 6 wins. Somewhere along the way, because the schedule is so colorful, they've got to figure out how to win on the road at either Washington, Utah, UCLA, or Cal. And I would say of those 4 games, the only one that I see them winning is at Cal. That's it. This is not Pitchforks Up, Go Devils. That's not who I am. Wrong channel if you're wanting me to be Mr. Oh, everything's great. They're going to win all their games. No, they're not. Then you go over to U of A. U of A, you're number 3. Jed Fish coming off a 5-win season. Northern Arizona, that's a win. This isn't 2 years ago. At Mississippi State, that's a loss. They're 1-1. Home to UTEP, they're winning. 2-1. At Stanford, they're winning. 3-1. Home to Washington, that's a loss. 3-2. At USC, that's a loss. 3-3. At Washington State, that's a loss. 3-4. Home to Oregon State. That's a loss. 3-5. UCLA. Usually they find a way to win one of those games. 4-5. At Colorado. I'll call it a loss. 4-6. Utah 4-7 at Arizona State, lost 4-8. But they had a 5-win season last year. So somewhere along the way, got to beat Oregon State. They've got to figure out how to win at Pullman, how to win at Colorado, how to win at USC, how to win at Stanford. I think they win at Stanford. They got to figure out how to win at Starkville. And I don't know Mississippi State inside and out. Obviously, with the passing of Mike Leach, awful situation, what that program will look like. But they have Washington at home. The only thing about the Washington home game is it is in September. So it could be hot. It could be miserable. Live Golf is going to be on CW. I've got friends in the golf world that are watching and liking Live a lot. They finally cut a deal with the CW network, which means you can now watch Live. Does that mean it's going to grow? I'm probably going to go to the Live event down in Tucson. I probably am. I'm interested in it. Do want to see how they handle themselves, what the crowd makeup is. I'm imagining it's a bunch of bro dudes, ball caps backwards, big cigars, walking around, big baller shot collars. That's what I'm imagining. Go to the WM? Not the case. There's a little bit of everything. And the gallery is just a great track in Tucson. That's a great track. So I'm going to check that out. The NFL playoffs, I'm interested in all four games. I am. All four are compelling. Two of the games have two of our big stars in the Home Valley high schools. Christian Kirk, who was at Saguaro, went to Texas A&M. Brock Purdy went to Perry High and then Iowa State. Love seeing the two of them do their thing. Bit of a rooting interest for both of them. I want them to do well. The loser of the Cincinnati-Buffalo game, I believe that quarterback, whoever loses that game, will end up playing the WM Open. I could see all the losing quarterbacks this weekend except the 49ers. 49ers lose, Brock doesn't golf. But I could definitely see the other quarterbacks. I don't know the golf acumen of Dak Prescott if they lose or Jalen Hurts, but it's Super Bowl week. The way it sounds with WM, we're going to be at WM most of the week because it's Super Bowl stuff, and they're going to tie over on the football side. I could see a lot of those quarterbacks coming into play. Speaking of the Super Bowl, on the other side, an event that you can actually still get involved with and go to the day before the Super Bowl at Desert Ridge. That is coming up next, the Super Bowl breakfast, my buddy Nicole Kreitz over at 3TV. And then we will shift gears and have more as we continue on. Anthony Becht will be with us. He's the head coach of St. Louis Battlehawks from the XFL, former Cardinal, former ESPN announcer. I'm interested in his journey. They were nice enough to provide us some mic'd up stuff of Anthony. Talked with him earlier. We will have that. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board, and we're back with more after this timeout. Right, I've been talking about the Super Bowl breakfast, and that this is one of those events that is so cool, and that there is still some space. There's some space for all these events, but this is one of those, like, this is a Desert Ridge. This is the day before the Super Bowl. This is Kirk Cousins on stage. This is Tony Dungy. This is the Bart Starr Award winner. This is, if you're a fan of football and faith, that this is a place that you should be. Nicole Kreitz, my buddy over at 3TV, called me. At Arizona Family, I should just say AZ Family. I'm sorry about that. But Nicole's with us, and it's her birthday, so I'm like, I want to wish her happy birthday on television.
Thank you.
And she introduced me to Terry Bortz the other day, and Terry, she handles the breakfast. I want to have the two of them on together to chop this up. And Terry, before I get to you, just with Nicole's end of things, because it is her birthday, you are going to be like the co-local host of this whole event. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting when they reached out to me, Athletes in Action, about what they're doing. And I just was so excited to be a part of it. So I'll be the local host. And you know, Akbar Bajabiamila, who's with American Ninja Warrior, yep, of course, played in the NFL. So he helps them host it every year. And they said, wouldn't it be fun to bring in somebody local who can, you know, help out? And I just am thrilled to be a part of it and hear the stories beyond what you hear on the field. Obviously, like, we love the players, we love the game, but it's so much more than that. And I always love to kind of spotlight those stories, especially of community and leaders in faith. So I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
Tell me about Terry and how you met her, and then Terry jump on in. But Nicole, how'd you meet Terry and how'd this come together?
Yeah, they reached out to me with Athletes in Action. And once they told me a little bit more about what they do and how they honor these players and really try to get the word out about more than the player on the field, but what they do to be, you know, an amazing husband, a good father, and leaders in community. I met her, had a breakfast, and we just kind of chatted about my story and faith. And when I learned about what they were doing, I just was thrilled to, you know, share that message and give people a platform here in the Valley to share those stories and maybe reach people who might not be close to faith and hearing those stories get a chance to see how the heroes that they, you know, put on a platform on the field are so much more in our community.
Terry, how did this come to be for you with Nicole?
No, so every year when I do the Super Bowl breakfast in a different city, I have to put together a local committee of business executives that help me. They help me identify sponsors, identify host committee members. They help me with input on the program, selling tables. They really are a huge help. So one of them, when we were talking about, we'd love to have someone local on the show, they immediately said, oh, you should talk to Nicole Kreitz. And I said, okay, who's that? And so they told me all about her. I, you know, went online and looked her up. I said, yes, we definitely need to meet with her. And we had that breakfast meeting and we were sold.
This event, again, for those of you that are checking this out or you want to tell your business leaders, friends in the community, it's in Desert Ridge at the Marriott at 8 a.m. It's on February 11th. So it's the day before the Super Bowl. The history of this event, Terry, if you could walk us through that.
Yeah, so it started back in 1988 out in San Diego, and they were fortunate enough that year to ask Joe Gibbs to be the keynote speaker. Joe ended up being in the game as the head coach of the Washington Redskins, so of course they immediately sold out. So that's when Athletes in Action said, you know what, we could make this an annual event, but let's make an award the centerpiece of the program, and the award would be for outstanding character, integrity, and leadership on and off the field. We asked Bart Starr if we could name the award after him. He said he would be honored. He and his wife were at every breakfast from 1989 to 2014 to personally present the award. People would come just to see Bart. He's just such a legend in the NFL. And he loved what these guys stood for because the media a lot of times likes to harp on the guys making all the mistakes, not the guys that are giving back to the community and being leaders. And so when the last time we were in Phoenix was 2015, it was the first year that Bart couldn't come in person because he had had a stroke. And that's when Tony Dungy stepped in to present the award in his place. And of course, Tony will be there on February 11th to present the award to Kirk.
SuperBowlBreakfast.com. That is where you go get more information. You can buy tables. You can buy seats. There's still time to do it. It's on February 11th. It's at the Desert Ridge Marriott at 8 a.m. SuperBowlBreakfast.com. Ladies, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Pat.
All right, as promised, I really like this next story. Anthony Beck was with the Cardinals for a bit, and he has gone through his NFL career. He went to ESPN. He's done the broadcasting thing, and now he is the head coach in the XFL, which gets started on February 18th. He's in the passionate football city of St. Louis. What a great landing spot, the St. Louis Battlehawks.
I would never mandate a full day off 8 days into camp, coach. Never.
Camp cupcake.
That I heard you part of that process. I don't know. Is that true? Giving them a day off about 8 days into camp? You have to earn them days off, man. They're precious. D lineman better watch out for Tanny and Jalen, man. Rugby, I mean, they're just a different level, they're saying, man. I just, Soto, you going to be able to stay up with them or what?
Yeah, I'll be good.
I'm anxious to see what the rugby style slash football player looks like these days. Small price to pay. Been doing this for 20 plus years, man. It's your way. It's your life right here.
And Anthony Beck with us for a couple of minutes. Good to see you. How did this come to be, Anthony?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. You know, I think it's always something that's been on my bucket list of things that I wanted to do. It was just a matter of timing for me. You know, I played for 12 seasons. When I was done, I had a lot of opportunities to get into coaching initially, both college and NFL. And, you know, the media was kind of a side that I wanted to get in. And honestly, it was kind of strategic because getting into college football, where I've been away from that for over a decade, it really helped me kind of understand the college game, see a lot of these players, meet these coaches. And I really went about my preparation for these games that I called, over 200 games, you know, like I was preparing, you know, to really, you know, game plan. So, you know, it was really a helpful part of what the process was. Now, within those 10 years of doing broadcasting, I also spent a decade coaching the NFLPA Collegiate All-Star Game every year with Mike Martz, you know, Marvin Lewis, really good head coaches, spent, you know, 8-9 days with some of the top college players, was able to see how things were run in a week-to-week concept. And then, you know, in 2019 is really when I took the splash into coaching is in the similar spring league with the AAF. I went to San Diego with the fleet with Mike Martz, and that's where really the bug got put in. You know, Mike Martz really took me under his wing. That was his first call when it came to building his staff, and he wanted me to come with him with our relationship we built at the PA All-Star Games over those years. And, you know, he's like, listen, every day, be like, get out of media. You need to be coaching full time. And I really kind of like, I would pick his brain. I would watch him. I'd watch the other side of it too, scouting with, you know, Dave Bowler being a part of that process there in San Diego. And you try to take all that information to say, okay, well, I know my job. I'm the tight ends coach. Okay. And then I also see the big picture and how that's going, you know. We can expedite this thing. And I've always been a, you know, leadership qualities, you know, communication with teammates, players, coaches, those always been strong pieces for me, and delegating things to make sure things work properly. You know, that's really the goal of a head coach. Now you got head coaches that want to call plays and do different other things, but you got to manage a football game. You got to handle day to day. That's a lot on your table outside of just trying to call plays and being distracted from the ins and outs of what's going on in the football game. So I thought the timing was right for me. You know, I stopped with ESPN. I got 2 years with my son being the offensive coordinator in high school so I could spend time with him after missing his sophomore year of playing games. So that triggered that part of it. So now I was all in, immersed myself. And the last phase, Bob, quite frankly, the last 7 or 8 years, I've been working with the NFLPA Trust and the NFL Legends community, where 20 to 24 of former NFL players were helping guys transition from retirement to real life. And so now that's another aspect, okay? Can you build the relationship? Is there a part where you can, you know, you understand the big picture of playing ball and then when it ends? Because eventually it will end for these guys in the spring. But the spring element for me works because I just, these guys are hungry, they're passionate. It's a place and a space where guys are missing something in their game. They haven't reached their pinnacle. And that's where the information you can give them is really helpful. And I got a lot of it to give. And it really, that's what got me fired up about the XFL.
It sounds a little bit like I did the hot shots for a bit with Neuheisel. And it sounds a little bit like that, where you can see a player and say, you know what? You know, John Wolford could play in the NFL, Brad. He just needs a little bit of this, a little bit of that. What do you know? He's playing the NFL. Do you see that yourself now? Your season's a month away. Do you see some players like, this guy's this close? I just need to pour into him. Our staff just needs to pour into him. And we're going to get to a point where we're going to send him up to the NFL.
Yeah, that'd be my goal. If I get my whole team to go to the NFL next year, I'll do that. That'd be a great success. But I know, you know, it's, you're looking at that 10%, 15% number would be huge. That'd be a huge accomplishment. You know, you're going to get guys, you know, with my staff, and I have a great staff, to get players to max out and really fill those voids and get them to buy in. Those guys will take huge strides and jumps.
We clear up that that protection stuff today?
Yeah.
With them?
Yeah, it was good.
Well, I was just telling, you know, I want to make sure that if we're going to add Abby, make sure everybody hears it first. We know what we're doing.
Yeah, that was, you know, the biggest thing is we go out there. Me and B talked about, like, me and him went over it, but we don't know what the O-line, because we didn't meet together.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's all good.
It's easy. Abby right, rip. Abby left, Liz.
No, I like that. That makes sense.
You know, it's early now in training camp to, you know, hopefully as we get through into the season, you're going to see guys really change who they are. And I told them the first meeting, I said, you're all missing something. There's a reason why you're here. And it's my goal and our staff's goal to really find out what that is. And if it's for a guy that he can reach a higher platform and get to the league, that's good. It may be a guy reaching as high as platform, but it's still not good enough to get him to the next level. But he won't have any regrets because he'll know, right? He'll know, okay, this is my space. I gave it a chance. My opportunities were given. I put it on film, and I'm still not there. Hopefully they have peace of mind with that as well. So it's really a two-double-edged sword on how it can help all these players.
Two other questions to get you out of here. When you looked at St. Louis, what a great football town from, I think, everybody's view. But I would imagine you have been embraced, and when your games are played, it's not going to be just a few people in the stands in St. Louis. The buzz a little bit, if you could.
Oh, man. Best fan base, obviously, in the XFL, at least the 2.0 version in 2020. Mm-hmm. I've been up to St. Louis several times now since they announced me as the head coach, just, you know, meeting with the fans, going to events. They're fired up. I mean, there's a lot of engagement. You know, there's a reason why we're number one in team content on social with the fans. We're number one in ticket sales before the season has started. We're expecting a big crowd at the Dome. We have three games we have to start on the road before we get to the Dome. But I keep telling the players, you know, just YouTube 2020, look at the fans, look how they were passionate. You know, fans dressing up, face painting, pregame, postgame activities. So it's going to be outstanding. I think that's really part of the development process for these guys as well. You know, you can be on a practice squad in NFL and you can learn through drills, but you're never going to get the experiences in the game situations you will with us, and the crowd noise and handling those things, because ultimately it's the guys that can perform under pressure in those circumstances that can reach that goal. So our fan base gives us that. So we can't wait to play there. It's going to be great. And St. Louis has just really embraced football. It's a number one sports town with all the sports, but they love the team, and we're excited to bring it back.
Eventually, you want to be in a space, I would think, and I'm not running you out of the XFL right now, but like the Cardinals job is open. You want to eventually be an NFL coach, right? Or some guys say, you know what, I kind of may want to stay in this space or go to college, but you want to be interviewing for an NFL job someday, I would think.
You know, I think what lies in the future obviously is predicated on what I do moving forward. I know that being given this opportunity to head coach with that limited experience is a little out of the box, but we're looking at hires now across the board that out of the box scenes, you know, kind of in vogue right now. So everybody's right. Just kind of doing it. You know, look, my aspirations are what they are. It's year to year. I want to be here. This is the space I want to be in. This is the schedule that works best for my life that I'm all in for. You know, at some point, if there those things do pop up, I think that the discussion of it would be great. But, you know, as of right now, this is kind of like how I see myself, you know, moving forward for the next several years. Hopefully we can build the XFL is a little bit, you know, it lasts. It's got tenure to it, and we can make this a long term deal. And the business side is run well. We have great ownership. And I'm excited about that. So, you know how it is. You got to still, as much as we're building something from the ground up, you got to win games,
right?
And put the victories in the win column. And I think we will do that. But ultimately, yeah, this space is great for me. So, you know, we'll see what those aspirations bring. We'll see what those things pop up in the future. But if I don't do a good job here, then none of that stuff really matters. So, and that's good about my staff. Everybody's kind of in the moment. Nobody's searching for some other job, right? Yep. I have a lot of young up-and-coming coaches that are really like love the space and really can, you know, harness in and grow. And then I have some veteran guys that are probably past that opportunity where they're like, man, this schedule's great. They can be all in for 5 months and then kind of take that break. So it fits well for what we have. And for me, at least for now, this is kind of where I want to be.
Any lasting memory from your time with the Cardinals? I know it was short, or your time here in Arizona.
Yeah, when I was in St. Louis, it was short. We didn't win many games, but the fan base was great, very passionate. Loved the town, loved living there. Everything about it, you know, the food and some of the history of the city was great. Arizona was great as well. I love, you know, the weather obviously was nice for me at the end of my career. We were very, you know, successful at the time. You know, when I got there, the team was coming off a Super Bowl run, losing to Pittsburgh. And then the next year I came in and we almost made another run there. So built a lot of good relationships. You know, we spent time. We lived there for 6 months out of the year. Our family loved it. So made a lot of good relationships within the building that are still there as well. Mark Dalton, the trainers, the equipment staff, everybody's still kind of in place there on that end of it. So yeah, I mean, it was a good run. It was good to be out there. Good golf out there as well.
Yeah,
and it was very comparable for me living in Florida to have some that experience in Arizona as well. So I love my time there, and it was a great part of my career.
Good luck to you. I appreciate your time and chopping it up for a bit. Thanks.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
It was Anthony Beck there, the head coach of the St. Louis Battlehawks. They start up play on February 18th, and we're back with more in the XFL after this timeout.